right, guys. WMAP, World's Most Amazing People. That's Chris Tomlinson. I believe that's how you say it. We love that song around here. Great song. That guy's great. I'll tell you a story later about that guy. That guy's for real. He's not one of those phony Christian singers that are into all the bad things, but will sing about things that are good. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you this story later. But in a couple of minutes, guys, I'm going to be speaking with Jim Mosquera. Now, Jim is the author of 2020, and he is going to be on the air in a second here. And this is a really cool book right here. I'll tell you all about it, but you guys know I do have to play a station ID first before I get him on. So let me go ahead and do that, and I'll be right back with Jim Mosquera. So stay tuned. My name is Casey Armstrong, and I am the CEO, and I am the voice of WMAP Radio, which stands for the World's Most Amazing People. When we started this station, the whole idea was we're trying to inspire you with stories of everyone else. Look, everybody has a story. There's something special about everybody. I don't care who you are. When I see your face. Jim Mosquera is the author of 2020, and 2020 is a political thriller, and it's very interesting, guys. You can get more information if you go to 2020novel.info or jimmosquera.com, and I'll spell that in a minute. But first, with no further ado, guys, it's my honor and privilege to welcome to the program Mr. Jim Mosquera. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Casey, thanks for having me on, and looking forward to engaging with your guests today.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to have you. Now, this is really cool. Like, 2020 is I was reading a little bit about it, and the term political thriller is something new to me. But tell me a little bit. Tell me in the audience here, what is 2020 about?
Well, I will promise your audience this. This will be a very unique reading experience for most of your readers.
Sounds like it.
I say that because I think a lot of times when people think of political thrillers, they might think about things like The Manchurian Candidate or, you know, maybe something dystopian that occurs. You saw or you've probably seen the Hunger Games and that trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is about. I start with a prologue in the book where I talk about what happened in 2008. We all know about the financial crisis. And how really that didn't get resolved. So there's some historical things that get weaved into, you know, this fusion of, you know, historical events and then this, what I'll call this near-term look at the future. And so 2020 takes three themes in mind. It takes into account, like you said, the politics, financial and economic, shocks or crises, and cyber disruptions or mayhem, you know, and I think that those three themes right now, politics, obviously we just came out of a very contentious election. we hear often about hacking nowadays, and obviously financial crises are still foremost in many people's minds. So if you look at those three themes and then you take a very, very realistic look at how things might develop, and again, this is a fictional story,
mm-hmm.
And then you weave it into some interesting characters, I think you have a very, very unique reading experience for most of your listeners.
Ah, that's cool. Now, tell me about, who is Chandler Scott?
Chandler Scott is the protagonist of this book, and actually he's the protagonist of the three books that are going to be part of the series, and he's a journalist, and in this particular book, he works for an international news network called El Mundo, which is based out of Buenos Aires, Argentina. And he's a young, kind of up-and-coming journalist that has his own TV show, and his background is covering things like political intrigue, economic, financial things. And so again, via his own show, he's built up a decent following, and he's built up a lot of credibility in the airwaves. And so he gets exposed to more things leading up to what happens in 2020, which actually culminates in the 2020 presidential election.
Hmm. Now, Jim, tell me about you personally. When you got out of school, and this is your first book, right?
Actually, this is my first fiction book.
Fiction.
It's actually my third book overall.
Okay. So tell me about, a lot of people would say that this borders on conspiracy. I know it's fiction, but to the topics that you're talking about, some people might say it's in that realm. Were you somebody, even as a young boy, did you question everything? Because that's kind of what it would seem like with what you're doing here with 2020.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I would necessarily categorize it, you know, kind of in that conspiracy angle. And part of the reason I say that is because I try to make things very, very realistic as possible, so there's not, you know, there's not some deep, dark secret, I think, that gets uncovered in the book. But my interests, you know, certainly through the collegiate level, always kind of seem to center around money, even though my degrees are actually in engineering. I guess it was kind of natural for me, you know, given my love and interest in topics, you know, financial and economic, and the two books that were the predecessor books to this book, which were nonfiction books, which dealt on, you know, coincidentally enough, you know, money and the economy.
Right, I got you. And from I've read a bunch of the reviews, and from what I'm gathering, people are saying that this is something that isn't far-fetched, that this is something that is could happen, and it's pretty accurate as far as facts go, even though it is nonfiction. What do you think, what do you say to people that say that this is a really believable and accurate story?
Really glad you asked that question, Casey, because, you know, 7 years ago when I published my first book, again, a nonfiction book, I speculated that the United States would soon see the emergence of what I'll call very, very strong third parties running for political office. And I don't mean necessarily like, you know, every year we have obviously parties like, you know, the Libertarians, yeah, you know, the Green Party and so forth, and they run for, you know, different offices with obviously not really high layers of success.
Right.
You know, 7 years ago, I postulated that that was going to change and that you would actually see very, very strong parties taking hold, you know, in local elections, you know, national elections and so forth. And so one of the premises of this book is that there are going to be third parties that already exist, you know, freestanding third parties that challenge for the election in the year 2020. Now, what interesting backdrop for this is the election we just came through. And, you know, before the election results were in, this is way back even in 2015, I had written about the fact that I thought that there were three candidates that were running for office that really didn't fit the mold of either a Democrat or Republican. They just kind of fell into those parties because why? Well, that's a convenient place to be able to raise money, get media attention, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And those three candidates were Dr. Ben Carson, our current president, and Bernie Sanders. And if people may not remember, but in the early Republican polls, Dr. Carson actually led.
Yeah.
And then obviously, of course, you know, we had Donald Trump come out of the Republican side. And who knows what would have happened had we not had some of the instances with the DNC. Perhaps Bernie Sanders might have won the Democratic nomination. If that would have happened, then I would submit to you that you had Bernie Sanders, who, you know, by all rights is an independent, classifies himself as an independent, calls himself a democratic socialist, which is something we don't have in the United States, is more akin to what you see in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Donald Trump, you know, like him or hate him, he doesn't have any strong political ideologies,
right.
and he's been known to have given money to Democratic candidates as well in his past. So, you know, you really had, again, the emergence of these candidates that even though they didn't call themselves third-party candidates, by all, you know, intents and purposes, they kind of emulated those types of candidates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And guys, if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Jim Oscara, and I'm gonna spell that for you because he's the author of 2020. And you can get more information if you go to 2020novel.info, or here I'm gonna spell it for you. You go to Jim Oscara, which is Jim MOSQUERA.com, and you can get more information about this great book here and about Jim. Now, Jim, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is. Now, you're a guy very articulate, and you know, you've put out these other nonfiction books before, and throughout the process of writing a book, I'm told, and actually I can probably tell you too, because we have our first book is going to be coming out in May, but often during that process, an author learns something from writing the book that they didn't expect, or they take a lesson from all that time that they put in there. Did you learn anything from writing 2020?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, because I tried to make it very realistic, you know, you have to, I guess you have to structure your time well, you know, as a researcher. And, mm-hmm. you know, part of my challenge as an author is, you know, I was an independent author. I tried to peddle the story of 2020 through, you know, a number of literary agents and so forth. And, you know, obviously they were all rejected. And I even tried to publish through kind of a third-party publishing house where you had to get a certain number of pre-orders. Well, that didn't work either. So whenever you're an independent publisher, an indie author, and so forth, you know, you have to wear a lot of hats,
right?
Especially if you want to do a lot of it yourself and you don't want to contract out certain things. And really, I can tell you, it really, really tested me in the sense that it kind of had to kind of develop some of these other skills where, you know, I had to become like Mr. Graphic Artist, do, you know, more of my own editing, layout. And really, as I will tell any independent author, even those authors that may have contracts with publishing houses, to me, by far, the most difficult part of being an independent publisher and author is the marketing aspect, kind of like what we're doing right now.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's very, very difficult, unless you have a famous, well-known name, to, mm-hmm. to have people kind of gravitate.
You got to get that first one. That first one's got to follow you, right. So, yeah, Jim, again, I mean, you know, we're way over time here, but I'm keeping you because you're an interesting guest here and it's going really well. But I wanted to ask you, what would you like my listeners, say they pick up 2020 and they go to 2020novel.info or jimmoscara.com, they pick up the book, what would you like them to take away? What would you like them to learn or to process from reading 2020?
I think that there's some social messaging that I try to convey through some of the characters in there, and I will just tell you, it's not a political tome where, you know, somebody's going to say, well, oh, he's just writing, you know, something to support, you know, the left or the right. So if it's really none of that, it's really getting people to kind of have a more balanced sense of reality, some of the things that are around them. And another important point in the book, which Chandler struggles with some of his mentor characters that are part of, you know, this first book, and that is the concept of what I'll call freedom from versus freedom of, you know, and I think that's something that the country probably needs to wrestle with and really understand, you know, what do you want your freedom to be? Do you want to be protected from something, or do you want freedom of something? And typically, the more freedom from that the public asks for, the more the government will give them. And when the government gives them that, obviously that casts kind of like a wider authoritarian net, you know, not, you know, over society, over the country in general. And that's a theme that you will see throughout, you know, the first book, which is 2020. The second book, by the way, is out already. It came out last November. It's called Rebellium, and you can find that at the website jimmoscara.com that you mentioned. And, again, those are themes that are important, I think, for people to understand. So there is some, you know, messaging that gets transmitted through some of the characters to get people to kind of think about, you know, we just went through a very contentious election. Clearly, the country is very divided. What does that mean? You know, what could happen after that? And again, in a very realistic portrayal of, you know, the United States and clearly also some of the characters that are part of the story.
Gotcha. What a great guest. Jim Mosquera, author of 2020. Guys, check it out, 2020novel.info or jimmoscara.com. Jim, I got to tell you, you're a great guest. You're a great author. I would really love to have you back. And thank you for writing this great book and for sharing it with my listeners.
Thanks, Casey, for having me on. I'd be happy to be on again.
Terrific. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thank you.
Jim Mosquera, everybody, again, 2020novel.info. What a good guest. Jim's all right in my book. I hope we get him back because I like to get into that book, you know. Very interesting. You guys read the reviews. That's kind of how I start, so. All right, guys. Well, this is WMAP. We are the world's most amazing people.